Have you been worried about falls? If so, it's essential to review medications, as many commonly used medications increase falls in older adults. In this episode, I'll tell you which ones are most important to check for. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website BetterHealthWhileAging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about 10 commonly used types of medications that can be associated with falls in older adults. Checking for these medications is a cornerstone of fall prevention in geriatrics, and fall prevention is very important to us because, as you surely know, falls are really common in later life, and they can cause all kinds of problems for older adults. Those problems include life-changing fractures, head injuries, and more. But even if there aren't severe injuries, frequent falls can really affect an older person's independence and quality of life, so we pay lots of attention to them in geriatrics. Now, if an older person has been experiencing falls or is afraid of falling, checking medications is not the only thing to do. There are lots more to do, and I cover the other aspects of fall prevention in my other videos. But I want you to know which medications are the particular ones that we are usually checking for. That way, you'll know which medications to talk to your health providers about if you've had any concerns about falls. So, in this episode, I'm going to talk about why medications matter so much for fall prevention, and then I'm going to present an overview of the three main categories of medications that we always review in geriatrics. Then I'll go into 10 specific types of medications that increase falls or can increase falls. And lastly, I'll talk about what to do if you realize that you or somebody you care about is taking these medications. So we're going to get started with that. But before we do, before I get into that, I have a very quick request. If you're here, you find this topic interesting, or you've been finding the video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, please go ahead and subscribe. It does mean a lot to me. It helps me out. It helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it helps support the work that I'm doing. Another option, especially if you appreciate that I'm a live human doctor with 20 years of experience making these videos for you, I am not an AI-generated avatar. Another option is to become a member of this Better Health While Aging YouTube channel. And to learn more about that, just click the join button under this video. Okay, let's now get into medications and fall prevention. So why do they matter so much? The main reason is that they are a very common cause or contributor to falls. Now, sometimes they're the only cause. In older adults, usually there are multiple things provoking falls, but medications are really often one of those contributors. And that's because many medications that older adults routinely take actually affect the brain and affect balance. The other issue is that it's really common also for older adults to take medications that affect blood pressure. Now, this is not necessarily going to cause falls, but as I'll explain later on, a certain number of older people taking medications for blood pressure are on perhaps a little bit more than they need and maybe experiencing episodes of low blood pressure or of slower shifts in blood pressure when they change positions. So another reason why medications really matter for fall prevention is that they are one of the easiest risk factors to change. However, even though it's relatively easy to spot medications that are associated with falls and try to taper off them or stop them, it's pretty common for busy doctors to not do this. And this is in part because we have this healthcare system where doctors are often rushing as they see patients, especially in the outpatient setting. And also, most doctors have not particularly trained in geriatrics and may not be aware that these medications increase fall risk in their older patients. So I'm going to share this list with you because I want to make it easy for you to be proactive and to know which medications are worth bringing up to your doctor or pharmacist if you've been concerned about falls. So what are the three categories we are going to talk about? So there are basically three main categories that I think about when it comes to fall prevention. The first is medications that affect the brain. We refer to these in medicine as psychoactives. And that's because these medications affect balance and reflexes. So in a moment, I'm going to take you through, I think I have 7 common types of medications that fall into this this category. Many of them cause sedation or drowsiness, either that's the intended effect or a common side effect. It's also important to know about these medications because they can cause or worsen confusion, especially in people with memory problems or people who are much older or frailer. And most of these psychoactives are on the Beers list of drugs that older adults should avoid or use with caution. If you would like to learn more about the Beers list, I have a video just about that. Next category that I think about are medications that affect blood pressure. And that's because a drop in blood pressure or having chronically low blood pressure can increase fall risk. And the last category that I think about is medications that lower blood sugar. This is especially relevant for those older adults who have been diagnosed with diabetes. Why does this matter? Because low blood sugar, also known as hypoglycemia, is definitely associated with falls. It can cause people to feel weak, dizzy, confused, and can definitely provoke a fall. So those are 3 key categories that geriatricians often think about when it comes to medications and falls in older adults. Let me now take you through 10 commonly used types of medication that I check for as part of fall prevention. So we're going to start with the psychoactives. Number 1 on my list is benzodiazepines. So this is a category of medication that are basically sedatives, tranquilizers, and they're often prescribed to help with anxiety and or with sleep. They are actually quite effective for this. However, they're problematic in older adults because they are habit forming and they do increase fall risk. They also affect cognition. Common benzos, as we call them in medicine, that you may have heard of include lorazepam, clonazepam, diazepam, temazepam, and alprazolam. And the brand names for those medications are Ativan, Clonopin, Valium, Restoril, and Xanax. So if you or someone you know is taking benzodiazepines and you've had concerns about falls, it's definitely worth reconsidering this category of medication. However, it's really important to know that this is a category of medication that should never be suddenly stopped on your own. You can provoke life-threatening withdrawal symptoms. Generally, stopping them suddenly is going to provoke withdrawal, and people tend to feel more anxious or have difficulty sleeping. So if you want to cut back or stop this kind of medication, you always want to go with a slow taper. And I do have an article on Better Health While Aging specifically about this, which is called How You Can Help Someone Stop Ativan, that even has a link to a handy handout that was created by a geriatrician colleague of mine that shows a type of taper that you can use. And you may even need a slower one than that, but it's a starting point. So that's one type of medication that we always think about in geriatrics for people who have been experiencing falls. Next on the list is a type of medication that is known as a non-benzodiazepine sedative. So these are prescribed to treat insomnia and sleep issues. And the most commonly prescribed example, I would say, is Zolpidem, brand name Ambien. And then there are a couple other medications in this category in the United States, such as Zaloplan and Esopiclone. Brand names are Sonata and Lunesta. So these impair balance and increase fall risk. This has been studied, and we can see this effect in people the next day, even if they are feeling fine. So that's another type of medication to be careful about if there have been falls. Next on the list, another type of psychoactive is antipsychotics. So these are medications that were originally developed to treat schizophrenia and other mental illnesses featuring what we call, what we refer to as psychosis, which means symptoms such as delusions, false beliefs, hallucinations, and disconnects from reality, one might say. So among older adults, they are prescribed for severe mental illness such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, even depression with a psychosis, but they're also often prescribed for alternative indications such as agitation, sundowning, and other difficult dementia behaviors. So some commonly prescribed antipsychotics, which you may have heard of, include risperidone, quetiapine, olanzapine, aripiprazole. And the brand names for those would be Risperdal, Seroquel, Zyprexa, and Abilify. These are all considered second generation antipsychotics. There are more antipsychotics also that can be prescribed. I actually have a video about them. That's on the Helping Older Parents channel. Medications for sundowning, which you can check out as well. Sometimes older adults are prescribed one of the first generation antipsychotics, especially haloperidol, brand named Haldol. This is more commonly used, I would say, in hospice, sometimes still in the emergency room, not so much in the outpatient setting. So all antipsychotics have been found to increase fall risk. They also otherwise increase stroke risk and mortality risk. And for that, they have a black box warning. Next on the list of medications to reconsider if there have been falls are anticonvulsants. So these are medications that were originally developed to treat seizures. And so basically seizures happen when your neurons in the brain in some area kind of get, you know, overly active, right? So seizure medications slow down neurons, but not just in that one spot in the brain. They'll do it kind of throughout the whole brain. So because they sort of slow down the brain, they're also used as mood stabilizers. And because they calm down nerve cells, they are also sometimes used for nerve pain, such as when people get a painful nerve condition in the nerves of their faces. Some examples that are prescribed to older adults in particular are valproic acid, brand name Depakote, and then gabapentin, brand name Neurontin, has been at times widely prescribed for nerve pains, especially in the feet or hands. There are lots of other anticonvulsants. So basically, if it's a medication that's prescribed at times for seizures or for nerve pain, it is probably in this category of anticonvulsants. And they are unfortunately associated with increased fall risk. So that is something to consider. Now, if a person otherwise has a seizure disorder that has to be managed, then these medications are necessary, right? So this list of medications is not a list of medications that absolutely has to be stopped if somebody has falls, but they are the medications that we look at and, you know, try to reconsider. And I'll talk more about what to do if you're on these medications at the end of this episode. Anticonvulsants in particular tend to cause dizziness, sleepiness, and poor balance. Next on the list to consider are antidepressants. So this is often a surprise to older adults, and sometimes it's even a surprise to primary care doctors. But all types of antidepressants have been associated with elevated fall risk. So some common types of antidepressants that you may have heard of, that you may be even taking. The most commonly prescribed ones to older adults are the ones that are SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, right? So the flagship, the original one of these was Prozac, which came out in the late 90s. That's fluoxetine. Now, what's especially commonly prescribed to older adults are SSRIs such as sertraline, citalopram, escitalopram, paroxetine. And the brand names for those are Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, and Paxil. There are some other antidepressants out there, too, that might be prescribed to older adults today. There's a category known as tricyclic antidepressants, which include amitriptyline and nortriptyline. Brand names are Elavil and Pamelor. These are actually not often used for depression anymore. They are used to treat nerve pain, such as the nerve pain that can occur after shingles. And then there are other types of antidepressants that are prescribed to older adults for depression. SSRIs, I should add, are also prescribed for anxiety as well. But the other antidepressants include mirtazapine, bupropion, and venlafaxine. The brand names for those are Remeron, Wellbutrin, and Effexor. And then there's trazodone. This is an older antidepressant that is now not used to treat depression, but is used at low doses for sleep in older adults. Antidepressants can be very useful for treating depression, especially in people who don't otherwise have dementia. However, they are all associated with increased fall risk. And for a while, people assumed that SSRIs would affect fall risk less than tricyclics. Tricyclics are actually also anticholinergic, which is another category that is problematic and also associated with fall risk. I'm going to talk about them in a moment. So for a certain time, people assumed that SSRIs would have less fall risk than the older antidepressants. But actually, the research studies have shown have not borne that out. They have found that the fall risk is higher with all antidepressants, including SSRIs. It's about 60%, 50 to 60% higher in many studies. Does this mean older adults should avoid antidepressants? No. However, it's important to know that it's not entirely benign. So especially if an older person doesn't seem any better on an antidepressant, one wants to rethink leaving it on indefinitely just in case, because there is a fall risk, an increase in fall risk that we are creating. The risk does seem to be dose dependent. And the risk also generally seems to be highest when the medications are first started or when the dose is bumped up. So again, antidepressants can be worthwhile, but they need to be reconsidered, especially if they are not improving a person's symptoms. Next on my list, opioid analgesics. So these are the medications that are prescribed for severe pain. You've almost certainly heard of them. They're prescribed less often now that there's been, you know, more concern about opiate addiction and opiate abuse. But still, some of the ones that you may have heard of include codeine, hydrocodone, oxycodone, morphine, fentanyl, and methadone. So these are really effective as painkillers. However, they tend to cause drowsiness, sedation, and dizziness, especially if one is not used to taking them, and they are associated with increased falls. Next on the list is anticholinergics. This is less a type of medication and more a category and a sort of like characteristic of lots of prescription medications and over-the-counter drugs. And they all have the property of interfering with the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. This is a neurotransmitter used throughout the body, especially in the brain. And actually, people who have Alzheimer's have a deficit of acetylcholine functioning in the brain. That's why the most common medication used for Alzheimer's, donepezil, brand name Aricept, tries to boost that. But acetylcholine is also used elsewhere in the body. So lots of medications actually affect acetylcholine. Now, I have a video about seven commonly used types of medication that affect brain function, because anticholinergics do affect brain function. But really briefly, the types to be aware of: sedating antihistamines such as diphenhydramine, Benadryl, available over the counter. PM painkillers generally will contain a sedating antihistamine. Medications for overactive bladder such as oxybutynin, brand name Ditropan. Medications for vertigo, motion sickness, or nausea, whether over the counter or prescription, are strongly anticholinergic as well. Oral medications for itching such as hydroxyzine. Muscle relaxants such as cyclobenzaprine, brand name Flexeril. Those are some of the most commonly used ones. So anticholinergics cause some drowsiness and sedation. They also cause dry mouth, constipation. They can cause confusion or delirium, especially in people who are already having memory problems or cognitive impairment. And they are associated with increased fall risk. So those are the psychoactives, the main categories of psychoactives that we tend to look out for in geriatrics. So let me now talk about a few of the other categories of medications as well. So number eight on my list is antihypertensives. So in other words, blood pressure medications. So there are many, many different types of medications that are prescribed to lower blood pressure. If you want to know about them in greater depth, I have several videos on blood pressure, and I think I cover the blood pressure medications in depth in the one on how to lower blood pressure. So see that video if you want to know more about them. Now, in geriatrics, we often prefer to use fewer medications, but blood pressure is actually a situation where I think often some medication is definitely indicated and a good idea. There's a long research history of blood pressure medications having a good track record of reducing cardiovascular events and strokes and mortality in older adults. So maintaining a lower blood pressure is generally good for your health. And blood pressure medications are not overall associated with falls, but if an older person has been falling, it is important to review the medications and also what their blood pressure has been, and is it dropping when they stand up? Because it's not uncommon for older adults to sometimes be taking a little bit more blood pressure medication than they need, or to be experiencing that side effect of their blood pressure dropping when they stand up when they are on medications. So what we like to do in geriatrics is to check an older person on blood pressure medications, if there have been falls, is to check them for what's called orthostatic hypotension. That means a drop in blood pressure when they stand up. And if you want to know more about that, I talk about that in my video on how to know if your blood pressure is too low. So we want to make sure that a person is not being overtreated for past high blood pressure, or maybe for other reasons they might be experiencing low blood pressure. Next on my list is another category of medication that affects blood pressure, but this can be kind of sneaky because it's not actually prescribed for high blood pressure. And this is alpha blockers for BPH. So alpha blockers are a type of medication that is often prescribed to help with urination in men who have benign prostatic hyperplasia, commonly known as BPH. So the commonly used drugs are tamsulosin, terazosin, doxazosin, and prazosin isn't used that often anymore. The brand names are Flomax, Hytrin, Cardura, and Minipress. So these are medications that work by relaxing the smooth muscle in the urethra so that it is easier for a man with an enlarged prostate to urinate. There are some other commonly used medications for BPH that act directly on the prostate. Those are not going to affect blood pressure. But tamsulosin and the other alpha blockers do affect blood pressure, actually. Orthostatic blood pressure drops are a known side effect of these medications, and they are associated with falls in older men. So again, if an older person, older man, has been falling and he's taking these medications, we want to take a good look at it, rethink them, and maybe reconsider how we might manage the urinary issues. And again, for more on urinary issues in older men, I have a video that goes into that in depth. So lastly on my list, number 10 is medications that lower blood sugar. Now, generally, these are only going to be prescribed to older adults who actually have a diagnosis of diabetes. But lots of older adults have diabetes. It's a quite common diagnosis in late life. And many of those older adults are taking medications that lower their blood sugar. And many diabetes medications can cause low blood sugar, which in turn can cause weakness and falls and other consequences as well. So if you want to know more about medications to lower blood sugar, I have a video that goes into that in depth. But in general, the risk is not the same with all the medications. The highest risk of dangerously low blood sugar comes from insulin and then another category of diabetes medications, which are called sulfonylureas. And those include glipizide and gliburide. There are lots of other diabetes medications, including the GLP-1 drugs, and others that can also cause hypoglycemia, but it's much, much less common with those other medications unless they're combined with insulin, glipizide, gliburide, or possibly even metformin. Now, metformin is a very commonly used drug, and you should know that when it's taken alone with no other medications that lower blood sugar, it generally cannot cause symptomatic hypoglycemia. And that's because metformin helps your muscle cells absorb the blood sugar, but doesn't otherwise drive it too low. But in general, if an older person has been falling, if I look at their medication list and see diabetes medications, then we're definitely going to review that and also review their blood sugar logs and try to make sure that they're not actually being overtreated or having moments when they take too much medication and their blood sugar gets too low. So we want to be checking the meds and the blood sugar records if an older person with diabetes has been falling. And so those are the 10 types that I especially check for when it comes to medications and fall prevention. So on this slide, I've listed all 10. So basically, 7 of the types are psychoactives, benzodiazepines, non-benzosedatives such as Zolpidem, brand name Ambien, antipsychotics, anticonvulsants, antidepressants, opioids, anticholinergics. And then I consider medications that can affect blood pressure. So those are either actual blood pressure medications or heart medications, or the category again of alpha blockers for BPH. So especially medications such as tamsulosin, brand name Flomax. And then I look at medications that lower blood sugar, which is to say diabetes medications as well. So given that, what should you do if you have been concerned about falls and you are taking these medications, or if somebody you care about has been falling and is on these medications? So first of all, please don't panic. Don't panic and don't suddenly stop them without talking to your health providers. But what you do want to do is make a plan to talk to your health provider about these medications, because the expert guidelines about reducing falls in older adults all recommend medication review. And then the recommendation is, if any of these risky medications for falls are identified, you want to consider one of three courses of action. You want to stop if possible. This may require a taper down, but the goal might be to stop. You want to switch to a safer alternative if one is available. And then you want to otherwise reduce those medications to the lowest effective dose, because for almost all of them, the risk goes down as the dose goes down. Okay, so here are the questions that I recommend you ask about these medications. And these are actually good questions to ask about all your medications, because in general, it's often safer to be on fewer medications as we get older. So first, what problem is this medication meant to treat or manage? And what other options are available to manage this problem? And I especially recommend you ask what non-drug treatments are available. So for instance, let's take depression. Depression can effectively be treated with antidepressants, but psychotherapy has been shown to work equally well when it comes to mild to moderate depression. And in fact, both of them combined can be even more effective. But often there is a non-drug option available, but you may not be offered that unless you ask. Likewise with pain, there may be other non-drug options such as acupuncture, massage, and physical therapy that can be used as well. Next question I recommend you ask is, what are the benefits of continuing the medication? And ask them to be really specific. Also ask, what are the likely risks and benefits of discontinuing the medication, right? We want to understand that. Lastly, ask, is a lower dose of this medication an option? What are the pros and cons of trying the lower dose? So if you ask these questions about any of these medications you might be taking, you'll understand your health condition better, and you might uncover other ways that might be safer from a fall prevention perspective to manage your health. Now, of course, when it comes to fall prevention, as I said at the beginning, there's more to it than just medications. So to really get help with fall prevention, you also want to ask about a comprehensive evaluation. And I covered this in my previous video about it. But basically, you want to get help identifying your triggers and fall risk factors. You want to make sure you don't have a particular health problem causing falls. Medication review and adjustment can help. But most older adults will also benefit from physical therapy and special exercises to improve leg strength and balance. So for more on this, again, I have a couple of videos about fall prevention, and I would encourage you to review those as well. And with that, I'm going to wrap this up. So I hope you found this helpful to learn about these medications that we always check for in geriatrics when it comes to fall prevention. If you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It helps more people find the channel. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, come take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you again for being here, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.